Good morning, everybody, and welcome to those of you who are joining via our Zoom gathering today, and also a very warm welcome to anyone who is watching on YouTube live, watching on YouTube later, or listening to the message as a podcast. It is wonderful to include you in our fellowship this morning or whatever time, and we certainly hope and pray that you are blessed and enriched by your time with us. So we thank you for being part of that. Just going to get my screen ready for sharing. So you should now be able to see my screen in front of you all. Today, because as has been mentioned in the announcements and in the emails that have gone out, we are having our church AGM. And as such, I thought it might be a good idea to actually look at some biblical bases for why we would have an AGM. And why we would have church meetings and how church meetings can operate. So today we're looking at a biblical perspective on church meetings and governance, taken from Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. And unlike the previous series, we're not going to be jumping across verses. So if you want to have your own Bible open in front of you to take notes and follow along, by all means, please do that. And you're welcome to open your Bible to Acts chapter 6. It will also be on the screen. So let's jump in. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. This is the word of the Lord. If you would please pray with me before we unpack. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for the gift that you've given us in your word and the stories of the saints that have gone before us that we can refer back to, and we can so that we can receive advice and encouragement directly from you through their experiences. Lord, we pray as we unpack what is here for us this morning that you would speak to each and every one of us individually and also to us collectively as a church family, Lord, that it would be your word and your wisdom that comes through as we expound your word this morning. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, meetings and church governance. So, from my observations of being around church the time that I have been, and that might not be as long as some of you, but it's certainly been a decent innings for me, but church meetings is something they should be, and they can be, and they should be amazing times of engagement, encouragement, and fellowship. And I have been to many church meetings that are just like this. Church meetings should be the pinnacle of all meetings. Church governance and church business meetings should be the gold standard. Corporate boards of ASX 200 companies, billion-dollar businesses, government cabinets, Australia's largest charities, any of those organisations should be looking to the way a church meeting is run as an example for how they should run their own meetings. After all, we have got God's standards for leadership and God's standards for meetings, as well as Jesus's guidelines for how we are to do them appropriately. We should be the absolute best at them. And as I've said, there are many examples I could point to in my past where I've been to absolutely amazing and wonderful church meetings. Unfortunately, I've also been to many that aren't. Unfortunately, like all people, we are human and we are all prone to sin from time to time. And as such, we are not able to be always living up to the high standards and the gold standards that Jesus and God and Jesus have set for us. So what we can do is, though, we can do the best we possibly can to make sure that we follow the standards that God has set for us and ensure that our meetings are as encouraging, as engaging, and as seasoned with grace as possibly and love as they possibly can be, so they are a true example that other people can follow rather than a cautionary tale for other people, because that's our role as the church, is to be light unto the world. Now, why should we have church meetings anyway? Well, first of all, they're a legal requirement. Whether you may or may not know this, but Brimbank Church of Christ Incorporated is a registered charity with the Australian Charities and Non-For-Profit Commission, We are legally required to have an annual general meeting annually. That is not something that we can actually shy away from. It's, of course, good practice, but the reality is we must do it. It is very important that we have the annual general meeting specifically. And special business meetings are also made a provision. There's a provision for them in the Constitution for us to make decisions as a legal organization. Yes, we are the body of Christ, but we are also a legal organization. So we have a legal requirement to meet from time to time. We should have church meetings as well because they are the ideal forum for community resolution. That's a little bit of a no-brainer. Everyone's together. Everyone is there ready to talk and learn and to see issues resolved. That's the ideal forum for them. And they're also biblical. The history of Scripture, if you look all through the Old Testament and the New, there is many, many, many references to meetings. The passage we've just read from Acts chapter 6 is an example of a church business meeting that they called in order to resolve an issue. Now, the issue that they have, I mean, this is a breakdown of what's happened in Acts chapter 6. I mean, an issue has arisen, and so the members have complained. Once this issue has been raised, well, prayer and the word is actually prioritized. It's a very, very clear decision that is made that they're going to make sure they're not going to step away from the spiritual matters and start looking at this practical thing. Instead, they're going to form a committee. Committee is not a dirty word. Now, I know committees can sometimes get a bit of a bad rap in churches and there's committees for everything, but the reality is there is a biblical basis for us to have committees. That's exactly what they do in Acts chapter 6. They form a committee, a prayed for committee, and a committee that is wisely chosen, and they are given the responsibility to resolve the issue. The issue is resolved and the church continues to grow. Basic breakdown of what we've seen. So what can we learn from this for our own meetings and governance practices? Because as I said at the beginning, we should really be the gold standard. So here are five key takeaways from this particular passage. First and foremost, prayer and the word of God are our highest priority. All the governance structure and meetings that we have, all of that is to facilitate our mission. It's not to get in its way. Secondly, issues need to be addressed. Delegating to the right people is essential. Resolution is always possible. And the church is designed to grow and thrive. All five of these things happen in our short passage from today. Going through one by one. So first looking at our highest priority of prayer and the word of God. The 12 disciples who they've come before, well, the 12 apostles at this point, who they've come before to get a resolution, said that it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God, and that we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. It is very, very important that we understand that all of the governance structures that we put in place are there to facilitate the mission, not to get in its way. Sometimes we can misbalance this or get this out of kilter. We find that the governance and the structures that we have in place for how we do church or be the church can get in the way of us fulfilling the mission. And that's not what it's designed for. Our God is a God of order. He is a God of structure. There's many examples in Scripture from the Old Testament in Exodus to the New Testament in 1 Corinthians where God talked about the importance of order and structure in order to facilitate the mission of God going forward. In fact, the 12 were dedicating themselves to understanding the word and knowing it so well, so they were able to clearly articulate the people that the word pointed to Jesus. All of the structures that we have in place are meant to help us point to Jesus, to facilitate the mission. They should never be things that get in the way of us telling people about Jesus. Second point, we need to address issues. Now, I think about this. Imagine if the Hellenistic Jews had just let their widows starve. They just thought, oh, well, it's just the widows. Never mind. We'll just leave them to their own devices, whatever, and not cared. I mean, wouldn't have resolved the issue at all. That would have been a terrible thing to do. And those widows would have been in for some incredible hardship. There would have been some starvation going on there. Issues need to be addressed. This is kind of a bit of a no-brainer as well. For those of you, I mean, we've got a number of health professionals who work in our church. Anyone who knows anything about cancer, unfortunately, we've been visited by the big C in our church family more times than we would want. But the reality of cancer is that early detection, early addressing of the issues generally leads to much better outcomes for people. Same with a lot of health issues. Relationship issues, particularly of which many in church life can sometimes come down to, need to be addressed. Anything organizational, if it's a small issue that needs to be, addressing a small issue now prevents it from being a major issue that needs to be tackled down the track. It's always best to address an issue when it is small. And gathering together for a business meeting or an AGM in our case is generally a good place to do that. Now, that's not to suggest that we should have open slather. And generally, if you do have an issue, it's usually ideal to raise it with the person with whom you have that issue or who is best placed to fix that issue for you. However, the forum, the idea of any structural issues or broad body-based issues that the church needs to look at and address, the AGM can be a time to raise those questions and wonder and be sure that we are going down the path that God has laid before us. Issues need to be addressed, otherwise they become bigger issues down the track. And just to throw a political grenade in there, think about climate change and our care for creation as well. There are some issues we've got with that which could be addressed maybe now when they're smaller issues, or otherwise it's potential they could become bigger issues later. So there we go. I've laid down a political position mid-sermon for you all. So feel free to have some fun picking it out apart after the fact. Anyway, issues need to be addressed. It's a no-brainer. Good delegation. And that's the third point that comes out of this. Be very clear about delegation. Sometimes in churches or in any organizations, we can almost wave a hand at things. I'll just get someone else to handle it. Just that'll do. Get them to deal with it. That is not the way we are told to delegate in Scripture. Delegation is a very, very serious undertaking because the person delegating is ultimately still the person responsible. It was actually up to the 12 to make sure that this issue was not happening in the church anymore. Whilst they weren't dealing with it directly, they were still the leaders and it was their responsibility to ensure the health. So they made it very, very clear that they should choose 7 men from among them who were known to be full of the Spirit and of wisdom. It wasn't just pick someone and we'll let them handle it. It was choose men who are known to be full of the Spirit and of wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them. Another example of this in Scripture, which comes from one of my favorite passages of Scripture, is when Jethro visits Moses in Exodus chapter 18, sees Moses doing all of the work and listening to everybody's disputes and giving judgments and rulings between them all. And Jethro says, this isn't good. You're going to wear yourself out and then no one's going to be happy and okay. And so what he says is appoint capable men, ones that hate dishonest gain and who love God, and appoint them over tens, over 50s, over hundreds, over thousands, and only have the difficult cases be brought to you. Remember, God is a God of order. He has always been a God of order and structure because he knows that facilitates the healthy administration of a community or a family. So we should never delegate willy-nilly, but we should only delegate after careful, prayerful consideration. At this particular point, I'd like to issue a bit of a challenge to the church as a whole. You remember back a couple of weeks ago, about a month or so ago, actually, when I preached about eldership and overseers in the body of Christ in view of the fact that we were open up for nominations for positions on the leadership team. And my understanding is, sadly, it's been a while now before we've actually had anyone new nominated for leadership. Most of the leadership nominated positions have come from either existing leaders or past leaders who have been tapped on the shoulder and asked to come back. I would really, really love to see, and issue this as a challenge to our entire congregation, for us to have next year new nominations from within our congregation and from within our membership for positions on the leadership team after that prayerful and careful consideration of who is full of wisdom and who is full of the Holy Spirit. Because I genuinely believe there are more people out there that God is prompting to be involved in the oversight of our church. I really, really do. And I would love to see those nominations next year. So that is my challenge to us all as a church. Thinking even now, who is God raising up to be an overseer, to be full of the Spirit of wisdom, to help administer and facilitate the mission of God? Resolution is always possible. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard these words uttered at a church business meeting, but this proposal pleased the whole group. Now, the issue that they had was a relatively simple one to resolve. It basically involved someone with proper oversight who was impartial to ensure food was distributed evenly. Now, some of the issues that the current day church face might be a little bit more complex, a little bit more nuanced than that. So it's often difficult to find a situation where there is a proposal that pleases the whole group. But that does not mean that a matter cannot be resolved through compromise and through submission. We talked about what it meant to submit when it came to leaders in the church a couple of months ago. And it was this idea of no longer standing against, but rather yielding and allowing ourselves to be persuaded. So whilst there might be proposals and things that move forward that don't necessarily please us, there is this posture and this attitude of pivoting and moving out of the way of things that we might find objectionable and resolving ourselves to allowing them to go forward as an understanding that it is what the majority has discerned to be what God is calling us to do. resolution is always possible. Our God is a God of resolution. He is a God of reconciliation. He is drawing all people to himself. He does not want anyone to perish, but rather everyone to come to repentance and to come to faith in his son, Jesus, who died on the cross for their sins and ours, and who is risen again and who conquered sin and death forever. The entire story of scripture points to that. The entire story of scripture is one of bringing everyone into the resolution and into the kingdom of God. So we have to believe it is always so that a resolution is possible when there is an issue. And when we string all of these four things together, we end up on our fifth point, and that is that the church is designed for growth. The Great Commission of the church, Jesus's last instructions to us before he left earth to sit at the right hand of God, was to go and make disciples of all nations, as we are going to make disciples of everyone, teaching them to obey everything that he had commanded us and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is a growth strategy. The church grew in Acts before this issue arose. It was growing. Once the issue was arisen, there was a bit of a problem, which sort of probably caused them to stagnate a little bit. But once that issue was resolved, it is said clearly that the disciples increased rapidly. It is the nature of the gospel to spread. It is the nature of God's word to go out and bring people and draw people unto himself. It is all, the mission of God is all designed for growth. It makes it a lot easier for us to actually facilitate that mission because we know everything is geared towards it. So it is very important for us as God's people to understand that the gospel is meant to go out. The church believers, the numbers of believers are meant to grow both in number and in spirit, because that is the way that God has designed it. And that is exactly what the instructions he has given us are designed to facilitate. Once we see issues resolved, once we see governance structures in place that ensure the mission is facilitated and not hindered, and when we reach appropriate resolutions for all of those issues, growth is an inevitability because that is the natural order of the kingdom of God. Final note for today. A good meeting is a sign of a healthy and thriving church. So as we leave this time of fellowship and worship and enter into a time of our annual general meeting, let's have a good one. Let's have a good meeting. Let's have a gold standard meeting that people can look to and remember is like that there, that is how you're meant to have a meeting. Our Lord and our God, we thank you so much for the fact that even things like meetings and governance, there are so many things from your word that we can draw out so that we can understand what your will is for us and how you would design this world to be. Lord, we thank you so much for the gifts that you've given us, each and every person in this body that is Brimbank Church of Christ. And we pray that as we celebrate that at the AGM, it would be with that spirit of celebration and joy that we look towards the future. And Lord, if there be any challenges and issues that we as a body of Christ need to resolve, Lord, may we resolve those with grace and peace in the next hour or so. We pray this all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.